çölün ortasındayım. Dayanılır gibi değil, çıkmazdayım adım adım.
Hi, this is Professor Ortiz. It is Sunday, March 19th. No, Monday morning, March 19th, around 1 a.m. And you guys have a midterm coming up on March 22nd, which is Thursday in a few days. So I thought I would put together a little podcast on the administration for the exam, what you should bring, where it's going to be, and then go through some of the overarching concepts that you'll be tested on and what you should study in particular. So before I get into that, I thought I would just mention a few things about the assignments or the PSETs. They were, as you probably noticed, they were given at a fairly high technical level, and they're a little bit longer than a typical weekly PSET, because I think most of them had either 10 days to 2 weeks to do. And I was fairly impressed by the amount of effort that some of you really put into it. I mean, it's just an amazing amount of effort into actually, especially into researching all of the different things that we asked you to research. And so I just wanted to comment on why I had asked you to, in many cases, do research to answer the questions. And so I guess there was two reasons for that. One was to kind of give you experience with locating data and information via various resources. And there was 5 resources I think I had sent out to you. Of course, there's always the internet. SciFinder. If you haven't used SciFinder, I would definitely suggest learning how to use it before the end of the semester. So a few of you had said you had problems like installing it on your laptop, the software. I'd try and figure that out and call information services, because almost all of you, especially those of you going into grad school, will need to use either SciFinder or Web of Science. I use SciFinder basically on a daily basis. Actually, I use almost all those resources that I had sent you pretty much on a daily basis, if not for hours each day. And so, you know, I just wanted to get you guys started early on trying to locate information and data either via the literature or the web, and trying to discern whether or not that data can be trusted. So in many cases, in the PSETs, I, you know, will allow you guys to use links from the internet and like Wikipedia and things like that. Of course, Wikipedia isn't peer reviewed. So in reality, in when you'll have to do this in, for real, for like graduate school or for an advisor, or for a paper you're writing, you know, links on the internet are typically not acceptable. And even if you're going to take some data from a paper, you usually want to verify it with 2 or 3 different references. And so, you know, what you're doing, the resources that are out there. So hopefully that'll clarify why you went through all that pain to find, I know, those prefactors and other sources of information. And it gives you a little taste of what graduate students and what faculty, what I have to do basically on a daily basis for many hours a day. Looking for data and information never ends. And even if you go into industry, you'll probably have to use different sources. And then you need to evaluate, you know, that plethora of data that's on the internet. Anyway, so I thought I would add a little anecdote. So if you're pressed for time, you can scan ahead 2 minutes. So I can just go back to my first year up. My second year up. This was like kind of embarrassing to say, but it was before, you know, everything was digitized and posted online, let's say. Of course, everything still isn't digitized. There's many journals that are still not fully digitized and posted online, so it wasn't that long ago. And I guess my second year op was basically just going to the library and photocopying papers for a graduate student. This was when I was, I think, a freshman maybe, or sophomore. I don't even remember. Probably a sophomore. And yeah, basically like every day I would have to go and get a list and then just go to the library and just go into the depths of the library and just like copy like 10 to 20 papers and bring it back to like the graduate students. And then, and let me tell you, I was very happy to do it, because my previous year op was was way worse. My previous Europe, which was my, I think my first Europe as a freshman, was basically working in this chemical engineering. It was in chemical engineering, and I think it was with the same graduate student as a woman. And she was studying some sort of fluid flow through a massive piping system. I mean, it was like two stories high, and I can't even say it with a straight face. Like, my job was basically to like go and plug all the leaks in the pipes. So it was essentially, I was essentially a plumber for like 3 months, and every time there was a leak, they would like call that undergrad, like that freshman undergrad in the corner, Christine, you have to come and plug all the leaks. And I was constantly soaking wet. So anyway, I was very happy to, I had moved up in the world when I was actually photocopying papers in the library. And I have to say, eventually I found a good year op later on, my junior and senior year, but I still remember that freshman year. Okay, so let's get back to the midterm. Midterm is Thursday, March 22nd, 12 noon to 1 p.m. The exam is going to be in a different room. It's going to be in Walker 50340. And if you go online, there's a little PDF for exam one review. So pull that up and follow along with me. There's a little map where Walker is. If you don't know, everyone should know. You get 1 hour. Come a little bit early, 5 minutes if you can. You can bring one sheet of 8.5 by 11 paper, and you can write on the front of it. You want to write down typical values of all the constants that you'll need, KBT, prefactors, etc. You want to bring a working calculator and a watch so you can keep track of the time. You can't use any books, texts, or notes. What you should study, lecture notes 1 through 11, assignments 1 to 3. The podcast, but mainly the concepts that were covered in lecture that relate to the podcasts, and also the concepts in the assignments. So you should study the questions in the assignments that were on the podcasts. If anything isn't clear, you can go back and listen to the MP3 of the lectures. You can read the supplementary readings, or you can come by office hours this week. General format of the exam. The exam is going to be based on a current nanomechanics paper in the literature, just like the practice exam, which was from spring 05. And you'll be asked to explain, interpret, and analyze the data. And this is because this is a major goal of the course, just in general, that you can read and interpret nanomechanics papers in the literature. There's going to be both qualitative and quantitative questions. You won't be given the full journal article, but you'll be given just the information that you need to answer the questions. To get maximum credit, you want to make sure you write down everything regarding your thought processes for each question. You might want to go through and write down all the equations first, and then go back and do plug and chug math, depending on how much time you have. And I wrote some general questions of the concepts that you should, overarching concepts that you want to consider and thought questions that you want to think about. So the first question is like trying to like bridge all these lectures together. So what are the differences between nanomechanics and macromechanics? And so what are the issues that arise due to like the small length scales that are involved in nanomechanics? And what are the fundamental core differences between, say, 3052 and 3032 so far? Okay, so the second thing is really, we started out the course with a few lectures on nanomechanical devices and instrumentation. So you want to understand the basic function of each component in a nanomechanical device, how they work individually and how they work together, what data they output, and what are their limitations and errors. And so we went through a number of different components, in particular the force transducer, the high-resolution displacement control, and the high-resolution displacement detection system. So each of those you want to be familiar with. The next big area that we covered was high-resolution force spectroscopy, or surface forces measurement, and this could be with a variety of different instruments, AFM, surface force apparatus, etc. And so you want to understand what we did, the raw data conversion, which you had to do in your PSET. You want to understand different shaped curves. So like sometimes you'll get attractive forces, repulsive forces, and you want to interpret the shape of those curves on approach and retract based on your system, the chemistry of the system and the molecules of the system. So understanding the different regions of the curve, and you want to tie together kind of everything you learned about intra and intermolecular forces in interpreting force distance curves to explain the origin of each of the regions physically. And then you want to also think about, like, what material properties or physical parameters can you extract from force distance curves to quantify your system. And also, we talked a lot about the concept of adhesion and understanding where it comes from, what it is, and how to quantify it at the nanoscale. So that was the third thing. And then the next area we talked a lot about, in particular in the podcast, was surface functionalization. So for any nanomechanics experiment, the authors will always need to present some sort of surface functionalization scheme to interrogate a certain molecule. So you remember that we had the question in the last piece set on understanding the two schemes that were presented in the Heparin Biosensors podcast. And we asked some things about, like, the difficulties with them and, like, you know, the how it was all put together. And so you want to be able to understand, you know, for example, those two surface functionalization schemes and to pinpoint any problem areas for a particular scheme based on your knowledge of the experiment, what they're trying to do, and also based on your knowledge, and again, tying in your knowledge on intra and intermolecular forces and the strengths of those interactions, etc. The next area we talked about was AFM imaging. So we had two lectures on AFM imaging. And you want to be able to obviously understand, like, how that all works, how it's different from high-resolution force spectroscopy, understand the various images that are produced and where that data is coming from, different modes of operation, artifacts, and being able to interpret a various AFM image. So if you look in the sample exam, there was AFM images that were given. You had to interpret it both qualitatively and quantitatively. So understanding, like, where the features are coming from, if you know what the sample is, things like that, or trying to interpret it. Then we went on to single cell mechanics. So here we had two PSETs. There was questions on single cell mechanics on both PSET 2 and 3. So you want to understand the basic state-of-the-art in continuum level modeling, its advantages and limitations, and you want to be able to mathematically manipulate the rubber elasticity equations. And the last part is the last two or three lectures, which is understanding and manipulating intra and intermolecular potentials and interparticle and intersurface potentials mathematically. So we had two summary slides with all of the different forms of the potentials. And so you want to understand, know what terms to use in the net potential. And we had a variety of attractive potentials and a variety of repulsive ones. So you want to know, like, when to use what. Then you want to know, once you get all those terms in the net potential, how to calculate relevant energies, forces, and distances. So, for example, equilibrium bond distances, if you're given the prefactors. So, for example, in lecture 9, slide 4, we reviewed the Leonard Jones potential from 3032 on how to quantitatively calculate, say, RE, RS, R0. So you want to be able to understand how to do that generally for any general form of a potential. And then lastly, you want to understand what are the major differences between intra and intermolecular forces and interparticle and intersurface forces. You want to understand the meanings of all the prefactors, all the parameters in the prefactors, and how they affect your potentials. So those are really the major goals of all the initial lectures 1 through 11 and the assignments. And I believe Danielle went through the sample exam, which is posted online, which is has all the solutions. And if not, I'll do a short podcast review on it. I'll find out tomorrow if she has done that or not. So good luck studying, and I'll have office hours normal time this week on Tuesday. And have a great night. Bye-bye.
kafasındayım. Dayanılır gibi değil, çıkmazdayım adım adım izimde yalnızlığım. Revamı hep kırık dökük sevdalarım, ah düşlerim, verduş sevgilerim. Kalmadı hiç mecalimiz, dargın ümitlerim, ah yanarım bir ane anılarım. Bırakmadı yakamı yaslar aynasız dualarım. Aa, geç olmadan vazgeç, bırak beni, ardına bile bakma, git unut beni. Unut